Blog Talk Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against death's glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the league of justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
This is Leonard Johnson from the Monday night edition of the Boeing Hammer Report. I want to wish everybody, hope you had a great day and whatever you did today. Hope we can add to that enjoyment as we go into our third or fourth show. I think it's our third show. And everything's going fine. I mean, a lot of good positive feedback, and the guests we've had on, they've given us a lot of insight in what made them great coaches, and what and how they feel about today's situation, how things have changed over the time. And first of all, let me give a shout out to the University of South Carolina basketball team. What a wonderful job that they have done staying alive and making it to the Final Four. And especially to Frank Martin. When Coach came here, he kind of was putting his philosophy in place, and there was a lot of unrest about what the direction he was going. And a lot of times you don't see the seeds that are being planted. And he's a different kind of kid than what they've had here. My God, what they have done over the last 5 or 6 years in building that program. So my hats off to them, and wish them the best as they go forward to try to bring the baby back to the house. You know, South Carolina is so blessed this year. You got Clemson winning the national championship. I think the women are playing tonight to go into the final, I think. I don't know about basketball that much. And then we got the men who are playing. And right to the north of us, we got North Carolina, who's also playing in for the national championship in the final. So a lot of good basketball, a lot of sports, everything going on. And but especially a hats off to Coach Martin for the job he did. He drained the swamp, and he filled it up the way he wanted to be done. Tonight, we got another great one tonight. Another, I think, is a friend and a mentor. One of the first guys that I met when I came moved back here to South Carolina. And from that time, I followed his rise to prominence in the state as far as coaching. But he has made his mark in so many other ways in how he deals with young men and the respect that he has from across the state. And I can't find a better man than to talk to. Every time we see each other, we just sit and talk for about 10 or 15 minutes and just marvel at the wisdom that that he has. And he doesn't know that he's being milked for advice, but I sure milk him a lot for advice, and I listen, and I implement some of those things. So let's see if we can bring the great Tommy Brown of Martinsburg Wilkerson High School on. Let's see if I can hit the button right and don't screw it up. Tommy Brown, are you there? Tommy? Hello? Tommy? Okay. See that child in. Hey there, Tommy. Maybe something wrong with my end here. No, I'm good. I tell you what, Tommy, why don't you hang up and call back in again? Let's see if we can get you back, get you on here. Let's see here. Let's do that one more time. And let's do this. He hung up. He's going to call back in and see if we can get this going again. Now, he's had one of my sevens that just came out. Those dudes are bad. All right, let's see if we can get going right now. Tommy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. All right. Must have been my machine there, Tommy.
No problem.
I got one of these old 1950 machines, you know, that they played Pac-Man. So, well, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. What about you?
Man, if I was doing any better, I'd start screaming, man. I tell you, I'm just blessed to be here another day. You know, a bunch of us didn't make it and everything. And I'm just blessed to get to smile again, you know, and try to help somebody else, you know, smile during the day.
That's good.
How's Mama doing?
Doing great. Doing great. You know, definitely that's important to keep her happy. So, you know, she's doing well. You know, working hard, but actually enjoying every day of it.
Make sure you tell I said hello and everything. And, guys, this is another guy who way outkicked his coverage many moons ago. How long have you been married, Tom? How long have you been married?
30 years, February 14th.
My goodness, man. Look, like you just stepped out of the doggone, out of the wedding chapel, man. For you. You keep yourself up, and I'm sure Mama has something to do about that and everything, too. Well, everybody in the state of South Carolina know you, but this show has kind of gone national. And we got a couple of listeners in Europe, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
You know, I look at the number coming and everything and the location. And we got some people in Europe who listen to this show. So for those people in Europe, because I know everybody in South Carolina know you, but for those two or three people in Europe, could you kind of tell people who and what you are and just kind of who Tommy Brown is?
Well, I'm just a blessed young man who happened to be in the football coaching business for a long time, over 30 years. 20 of them, probably been, over 20 of them being a head coach. So I've been real blessed to get an opportunity to serve young men and young women in this capacity. Not a whole lot else to say. It's just that I'm just thankful to be able to continue to coach and be able to try to help young men and women be successful in life, not only in sports and just everything else they want to do. So, you know, not a whole lot about me, but I've been Orangeburg Wilkinson for over 20 years. I coached several other schools, and hopefully I've been successful in working with people. You know, that's to me, that's very important.
Now, you, where are you from originally?
I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. Grew up in Columbia, went to Columbia High, played at South Carolina State under Willie Jeffries. Had a pretty good career, and you know, we had successful days there. So I contributed that to my upbringing for learning how to coach and what's important in coaching. Taught by a very, very successful, very great man, and you know, try to implement what he did in his coaching career.
Willie has a bunch of young men out there who are coaching. He must, and almost everybody I've talked to, especially the young African-American coaches, they seem to come from that line, either through you or through Willie in particular. What kind of guy is Willie, Coach Jeffries?
He was a no-nonsense guy. Great teacher, great motivator. I think he taught us more than football. It was very important that, you know, we got our education, that we did the right things on and off the field. And to me, that's very important, especially with society today, how you handle yourself off the field. And Coach Jeffries did a super job of making sure that we did what we needed to do off the field as well as on the field. And as I said, he believed in discipline, he believed in doing things right and treating people right. So, you know, it's been a very big impact on a lot of young men. I myself would say that. So, you know, that success he's given us has helped us to keep his legacy going, and we hope we can continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do you pattern yourself after Coach Jeffries and some of the things that he's done, or have you taken to another level? How has he influenced you as far as what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the basis, you know, is about the same. He taught us, you know, the main thing he taught us was about discipline, about, you know, doing the right thing all the time, not just when somebody's looking at you. And I've tried to pattern myself about that, doing in the teaching the way I coach football. You know, a lot of young men and women, you know, come from a situation where, you know, there's not a whole lot of discipline involved. And, you know, I just believe that you can't be successful in anything you do unless you have that discipline, especially in football. We have all our success and all our people going off being successful because of the ability to maintain that discipline. And Coach Jeffrey, you know, he instilled that in us, you know, and especially off the field. You know, a lot of athletes are great on the field, but it's how they handle themselves off the field. So we tried to, you know, I've tried to emulate that and tried to teach that throughout my years. And that's the basis of where I run a program. And to me, it's been a success for the young men and women who've been involved.
Now, you plan on being at it much longer, or you looking toward that day where you say, man, I'm just tired of this, or do you, like me, just enjoy every second of it, you know?
Yeah.
You just love to be in that dirty locker room.
There you go. That's right, Coach. Right now, I'm still enjoying what I'm doing. It's not any easier. In fact, it's a little tougher because we're dealing with a different type of athlete now, but it's a challenge every day. But I'm still enjoying it. I'm still get up in the morning, thanking God every day for the opportunity to have a job and to go and touch a young man and young woman's life. So, you know, as long as I got the enjoyment and as long as they want me there, I'm going to try to keep going at it. You know, I hadn't really put an end to when I want to laid up. But right now, I'm just enjoying life, enjoying what I've been blessed with.
Now, I notice on your staff, I'm sure you've been doing this before, but I see it more so now. You got several ex-players that you coach, you know, who are on your staff right now. Is that by design, or is it just happened that way?
Well, actually, it just happened that way. And I think the impact that you have on your men says a lot about whether they want to come back and work with you. I think because of what we taught them, it was instilled in them that, you know, that this works. You know, while they were playing, they probably thought that, you know, he's kind of out of his mind. But after they went on through life and graduated from college and understood, you know, they really come back and they want to take what they learned from me and give it to other young men. So to me, it's been great. It's made my job a lot easier, where I don't have to teach or coach my philosophy. These young men have the philosophy, and basically they understand why we're doing this and the purpose in doing this. And then they get a chance to give back to the school that they came through. So that's been a great, great motivator for us and the kids to look back and say, hey, you know, I walk these same halls you walk in, and you can get it done the same way, you know, if you just hang in there and try to do it the right way. So it's been great.
Has it made your job a little bit easier as far as you being able to relax just a smidgen? I know you don't relax much, so I look in your face a lot.
Yeah, it has, because one of the problems I think we have, and I know you say, is finding coaches that really want to be committed to the game. Everybody wants to be committed on Friday, you know, Friday night. You know, everybody wants to coach then. But it's, to me, coaching is done in off season and basically during the week. So you got to really have guys who want to commit. So because of these young men knowing what kind of time is involved, they understand that. And so that makes my job a little easier now, where I can put some more responsibility on them and take it off me. And that's been a great equalize to help me stay a little longer in this game and not be burned out. I hear a lot of coaches say they burn out pretty quickly, but these young men have been able to coach through them and still get my philosophy taught.
I was in the this happened about 3-4 years ago. I was coming home from somewhere, I can't remember. About 3-4 years ago, I was in the Waffle House down there by 26th and area.
Yes, sir.
And there was I was just sitting there thinking, you know, drinking some coffee and everything, getting ready to come back home. And somebody said something about Tommy Brown. This lady who was in there got up, and if I had a better gender, I said, boy, I wish they'd take her home. Man, she just stood up for you. She said some choice words to this dude. What is your staying power there? What have you done to get these people fired up about Tommy Brown? Now, I'm not talking about those eggheads we all have, okay? Who don't know anything. I'm talking about those
right.
people. They got you. They got your back. What is your staying power?
Well, you know, Coach, I think I've just been blessed to, you know, and I tell anybody, coaching is a ministry also, and God will put you in position to do his work. And I think that's what has happened here in Orangeburg. I've just been blessed and positioned to be here and to work with these people. And, you know, they know they're going to get a genuine person all the time. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to been taught about being real with people, about being want to help people to do their best. And they've seen that these young men respond to what we try to do for them. And even though I'm older than a lot of them, they listen and they want this teaching. So I think it made parents realize that it takes a village to raise these kids, and you got somebody at school who's trying to teach the same philosophy they're teaching at home, then they say, oh, wow, you know, we want to keep this because this is good for all of us, because I need help trying to get my young man to stay straight all the time. So we have the same mutual ideal on how we want to make kids realize what they need to do, and I think that has played a part. And then, as I said before, I try to just be real with them all the time about life, about, you know, about God itself, himself, and, you know, what it takes to be successful in life as we go on.
I know you are committed in your faith, man. You live it. You can see that, you know. And how do you – there's a fine line as far as education these days and, you know, and talking about your religious experience. How have you been able to do that and still not feel a wrath like some of our other coaches and other communities and everything? How have you been able to keep that up?
You know, Leonard, I wish I could answer that one. I'm going to be honest with you. That's a good question that, you know, I can't answer myself. I basically just try to live the life that I know how to live. And as I said before, sometimes you're positioned in a certain place that you can do these things. As you said, probably in other communities, I couldn't do the things that I say, you know, because they're just not going to let you do it. But I think Orangeburg is the type of community that realized that, okay, this is okay. You know, we still a lot of Bible-based place here, and they realized that, you know, he's telling the truth, he's living it so they can see it, so, you know, they don't mind. But to really answer how I did, I can't tell you, but all I can say is, you know, God has placed me, has blessed me to try to do it, and I will continue to do it until, you know, that changes, and it could change because you never know what the law is going to change, what they're going to say you can't do or can do, especially with the times these days. So you just be thankful that you can and hope that you continue to be yourself while you're in this profession.
And your kids, they accept that readily, or do you have pushback, or?
I guess, somewhat. It's you know, you have to be careful, and you know, like I say, you just try to maintain what you do and be careful what you say and how you say it. It's not a forced issue, you know. I just tell parents this is the way I run the program, and if we have a problem, then, you know, I wouldn't discuss it. If they didn't want the young men involved in that, then, hey, that's their right. And I never tell the young men this is what you have to do. I give them the opportunity, the option to sit in and listen. If they don't want to listen, that's fine. And nothing to be held against them. You know, they have the right to say yes or no. You know, we go to church as a team. We you know, pray on and off the field. And, you know, they have a right to do not do it, but they got to respect the others and let them do it if they want to. So I just try to keep it that way, and hopefully we can maintain that.
Now, you've had several you've been to several administrations, from principals to two or three superintendents and everything. How have you seen that relationship? Has it always been good? And I hope I'm not putting you on the spot.
No, it hasn't been. That's been tough. That's been real tough because I've gone through five years. And here again, that's a change for me too, because each principal going to have his own philosophy, how they want to run a school. And basically, I've had to adjust. Some adjustments been better, easier than others. Some really has been a tale of, hey, you know, wow, I'll be glad when this is over. So, you know, you just got to be honest. You know, every principal is not going to cater to a coach that's, you know, hard-nosed. He's going to be disciplined. Some principals like that. Some principals say maybe too hard on the kids. Maybe not doing this right. So it's been adjustment each time. And you know, it just make you have to adjust, you know, if you want to maintain a job. And, you know, it hadn't always be easy. But I'm just thankful that I'm still here and I'm still trying to make another year.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that through your years of experience that you are able to just make the adjustment easier and continue to maintain who you are, what you believe in, and carry out your philosophy?
And that's what's been important, Coach. Because of the years' experience, it has helped me be able to adjust. It has helped me to be able to realize that I can't be as forceful with some of these young men I work with. And that experience has been, I think, what kept keeping me going, because each year is something different. Each year the challenge might be different. So I've had to be able to put together things maybe I did years ago that I can't do now, or I can bring this back that I couldn't do last year. And because of that experience, you know, I've been able to try to tell the difference on when I can do this and when I can't do this. So that has helped, and I'm thankful because of experience. You know, you be in a position long enough where you can see, okay, maybe you need to try this approach this time, but still maintain, hey, this is the way I am, this is the way I'm going to coach, and, you know, be straight up about it. So it's been helpful to have that experience.
Who do you talk to when you have those moments where you, I got to talk to somebody? Well, let me ask you, I don't know if you want to divulge that, but if you have somebody that you telephone and say, you know, hey, man, I talk to you about this. Do you have that one person?
Well, yeah, well, do a lot of praying, and then my wife is real supportive. She listens to me. She's a lady, she's a person who has to hear a lot of what's going on around school. And basically, she's the one that keeps me focused, keeps me on the same page. So I thank her for help keeping me grounded. You know, we pray together and we worship together. But a lot of the problems that I have at school, I bring to her because, you know, you've been around. I've been married to her 30 years. And, you know, basically she understands what I'm up against. She'd be real supportive. And football is a tough game because she has to sit in the stands and listen to a lot of stuff. But she's the one that I can depend on to talk to all the time about what's going on and the best way to handle it. And that's been my grounding person to help me maintain.
When you have disappointments, and we all do, you've been around long enough. We are going to have those moments where things don't go always go your way. First thing, how do you get your kids over that hump? What do you do to get your kids over? Let's say you face this devastating loss, you know, and how do you get your kids over that hump to, all right, this is what we need to do?
Yeah. Well, I think parents, different teams, you handle different ways. You know, there's some teams that you can come out and, you know, tell them, hey, you know, we didn't get it done, or basically we got to work a little harder, we didn't focus, you know, it's all on us. And then sometimes the teams are just better than you. You got to realize, okay, oh, hey, we did all we can do. So, you know, it depends on what type of team. And I got to know my kids. That's why I try to spend a lot of time with them to understand that, okay, what switch do I need to push to make them realize that you're going to have these days. And also tell them that's a part of life. There's going to be times where you do everything right, everything falls in place, and it still doesn't work. And you just got to be able to stand up and go and get another day. The sun rose the next day, and you're still alive, you know. And it's tough sometimes. It's real tough, and it's going to be tough. But that's what we have to – that's why athletics and sports is such a great teacher, because there's no other place, you know, in life that you can get this training before you hit life, because it's going to be – like you see, these games that I wanted to win so badly, and I thought I did everything right, and I still fell short. But I still got to realize I'm alive, you know, I've been blessed, and I got to get up and do it again. And, you know, I made mistakes here, I didn't make mistakes, but I got to keep going. I got to go ahead and fight this fight and continue to fight this fight. So it's not easy, especially with young men. Nowadays, everybody wants instant success. Everybody won't be that champion right now, and it's not going to happen like that. So you have to keep talking to them and let them know that, hey, I've been there, I've done that, and this too is part of your life cycle. And, you know, you got to just keep hanging in there and keep fighting. And eventually, you know, hopefully you'll get that goal you want to reach.
You know, we talked about your staff earlier, but you've had some great coaches to come under you and everything. Each staff is a little bit different in how they handle those adversity. Do most of your staff follow your lead as far as dealing with the kids in that situation, or do you have to shoulder that by yourself?
You know, especially with young coaches, we usually talk about it. You know, if we come off a tough loss, you know, within my meeting, sometimes I call them on the phone and we talk about what we thought should have took place or what we should have done or how we should approach the kids. Before we meet these kids again, I want to let them know, okay, this is how we need to handle this. Now, all the time they don't agree. But we sit in the meeting and we hash it out what's going to be best for the team now. And I try to let them know that, hey, you know, it's important that we are dealing with 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. And they don't see that importance like we see it all the time. So we got to be able to handle it. So, hey, they realize that, you know, I can do this again. I can get better. So I have to talk to the coaches and let them know that, okay, this is what we need to do this time for this week. Now, next time, we might have to do something different. And we sit down, we talk about it, and we hash it out what's going to be best for the team. So, you know, it's a bit different in philosophy sometimes, different in beliefs, but when we leave that room, we want to be on the same page because it's all about the team, every instance.
Talking about team, your kids really buy into, number one, you. They buy into your system. I mean, you guys are great team chemistry. How did you or how do you get that chemistry going?
Well, I think a product sells itself. We've been blessed to have a lot of individual players come through here who are successful, and they walk the halls of Orangeburg Wilkerson. They've gone on to become successful, whether it's been on the college level, whether it's been on the pro level, or whether it's been in the business world. And we emphasize that I tell these young men about having a dream, or having a personal dream, having a personal goal. And that personal dream, personal goal is going to help us as a team. Because if you have ambition to be a great player, that means you're going to work harder. And the people around you are going to envision this. And basically, they're going to work hard. And then we all have the same goal of trying to reach that. And basically, it becomes, you know, just like it's just cancer. And basically, you have to buy into it or you won't be able to play here, because we're going to work extremely hard. And we're going to keep talking about the same goal. This is what it takes. And this is what you're going to have to do. We put in this work, and if you don't buy into it, you're not going to want to put in the work that we put in. And a lot of people come out there and then they say they want to be a Bruin football player, but they realize, man, these guys work hard. These guys work all the time. Man, I don't know if I want this. And they'll drop out. But the ones who say, okay, I see why they work hard. You know, they got this guy over here. He graduated. He playing football in the next level. This guy in the league. You know, God, maybe that could be me. So you got such a good product that you can sell it on, and you know, and that academic part, and whether you go to the league, we got people that's doctors and lawyers, but came through Bruin football. You know, I can remember getting a letter from Assistant District Attorney of North Carolina. I'm like, oh, no, I hadn't been through there. What I did wrong? And I didn't realize who it was until I realized it was one of my former players. And, you know, he was writing me. I'm like, whoa. So, you know, he went to school with the University of North Carolina. He didn't play football in college, but he came through, and he's basically district attorney in North Carolina and district attorney. And basically, you know, that's the kind of thing you say, wow, you know, this could happen, but kind of scared me at first. But these are the things that you tell kids, okay, this is what you can do, you know, if you stay with us and you learn what we learn and willing to sacrifice and do the things you want to do. You can be anything you want to be, whether it be that lawyer, whether it be that doctor, whatever. And those kids, a lot of them want these goals. So we sell that product, and these kids say, hey, you know, I see he did it, and he went through the same, played on the same practice field, in the same weight room, what is, you know, did the same stuff to be successful. So I want to get a piece of that also.
There's a been to. There's a term, there's a phrase that I use at the end of each practice. And I do this because I really want them to start policing themselves. And that term is, am I your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? And I have that movie. I can't think of the name of the movie. One of Wesley Snipes' movies. And I started using that because I wanted them to learn how to keep each other in check. Do a job of keeping each other in check. Because I think one of my guests some time ago is that said that if it gets to me, then it's going to be an issue. Do your kids handle it before it gets to you?
Yeah. We put that challenge to them also. We try to remind them that, you know, these are your teammates. You need them to be successful. So it's important that, you know, you monitor each other. You know, you could do a better job than I can. And hopefully, you know, I want them to handle it before it gets to me, because that means they probably cut it off, because by the time it gets to me, you know, it's probably too serious. So, you know, we try to tell them, hey, you know, especially seniors, you know, this is your team, and you need to police your own team and make sure your teammates are doing what they need to do on and off the field. So that's the challenge that, you know, I think is important. And, you know, you tell them in a minute, you know, hey, he represents you. You know, he go out and do something wrong, they're going to say a football player, okay? When a fight break out, they see you stand. That's some football players involved. They didn't call them names. All they know is football players. And that represents you. So you need to say, hey, man, we don't need to be around this situation. You know, this is not, that's not what we're representative of, and we need to handle this the right way, you know, before we get back to Coach Brown, because, you know, Coach Brown going to handle it a little different than we are. So, you know, we try to motivate the kids to be their keeper, and I think that's a great saying, and you know, it's important that the kids understand that.
Do you have any pushback from kids who are being admonished by the, quote-unquote, the leaders?
Yeah, sometimes. Some teams the leadership is better than others. We've had some good teams that suffer because of not having that type of strong leadership. And, you know, we had all the talent on the field, but a lot of things were taking place off the field. And, you know, you end up finally at the end, and the kids end up saying, you know, if we could only have done what we were supposed to have done, we'd been a better football team. So they end up taking the repercussions of not being able to handle each other, not being able to watch out for each other and do the right thing. So that happens. Each team is a little different. And basically you try to get your senior leadership to step up, get your leadership to be strong and maintain that strength throughout the year. Because I've seen it get worse and I've seen it get better. We were fortunate this year to have a good group of seniors, and I think that had a lot to do with us being able to make that push at the end of the year, because they maintained that discipline. They maintained that, okay, we can still do this. So, you know, I was really pleased with the leadership that they showed at the end, and they fought to the end and basically got a push that, you know, nobody believed that we could get.
And you put a lot of kids through school. Do you know roughly the numbers of kids over the last 30 years that you have?
Wow. That's yeah. I can't even think of it, Coach. And people ask me about it all the time, but it's not anything magical. It's just that we've been blessed to sell that academic part. When I go speak to my eighth graders, I don't talk about football. I talk about academics. I talk about what we're going to do to make sure you're getting what you do in the classroom, because we let the players come over and say, look, you know, I didn't get it at first, but when I realized that I want to reach a goal, that I had to start hitting the books. So you got to get them to buy into the academics first, because these days you cannot be just an athlete. You got to be a student athlete. So we start early talking to them eighth graders about, hey, academics. Football gonna take care of itself. You know, if you're a good athlete, that's gonna be okay. But a lot of cases, and academics, you got to work a little harder. You got to put in more time. You got to go to tutoring. You got to study a little harder, because that's a weakness that you might have. So we, in this program, we push that first. We will suspend you if you don't do what you're supposed to do in the classroom first, regardless of what the game situation is. Because the games are going to go on, they're going to end, but your life is going to take care of itself. And when it all boils down to it, if you don't have the grades, you can't get in school anyway. So for that reason, people buy into that, okay, this is what I have to do to get into college, to reach my dream, and they buy into it. So that's why they've made their self-success. They realize when they get to their senior year, I tell them that first Wednesday, that signing date, that's the biggest championship you're going to get, because your parents are going to be happy, your family is going to be happy, controlling your own life, because I'm taking God's gift that he gave me and be able to be successful on another level, and no telling where I can go from there. So it's been big, and it's been a thing that basically has helped us as a program show success, what high school athletics is all about, being able to make young men and women better and reach their potential and their goals. You know, and you know, we want to win championship too. But, you know, a lot of cases I ask them, well, who won the state championship 2 or 3 years ago? And they can't remember. But you can remember that guy who got that scholarship, you know, who's playing on the next level, especially if he's from your town. And that's been a success for us, and we continue to work on it to make that better.
In order to have a good, strong academic program within your program, kids doing what they need to do with the classroom, you got to have cooperation with the teachers there. And I'm going to assume you check me if I'm wrong. You have a great work relationship with your teachers. Am I right?
Oh yes, You hit the nail on the head. Establish that relationship that the teachers, that they see that you're not just about winning football games. You're about helping young men be successful. And see, that discipline part goes a big part in that, when they know that the football players are always going to be the ones who are doing what they're supposed to do in the classroom. you know, we can set the tone for the student that, okay, the football players gonna always be in front, doing their work, always on time. And these other students who watching him say, hey, you know, this is what he does, and he's a football player. We can follow that. So we can help with the school environment. So having that relationship with the teacher, knowing that they don't have to call the administrator on a football player. All they got to do is mention my name, and that's going to do it. And the players will tell them, I'd rather for you write me up than call Coach Brown, because they know I'm coming right then, and they know we're going to handle this situation because, you know, you are affecting the whole football team, not just you. And we want to keep that relationship with these teachers that, hey, we're going to work to help our kids do the best we can. We're not going to be the best students all the time, but do the best that you can in that situation and not cause problems.
Every situation I've been in, I've always said, don't let me take away the candy. The candy being removing you from the program, playing that game and everything.
Right.
And I'm quick to do that. I mean, and a couple of guys felt that this year. You know, they had never had that happen before. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah. Yes. We've had situations where it just had to be done, especially when it's affecting the team. That's the last resort. I've had kids that I've given numerous of chances to correct the behavior, but when you're affecting the team, you know, the old saying, one bad apple can spoil a bunch. It can. It can. And when you start sacrificing your team for the one player, then you have to make a tough decision. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But sometimes you have to do that. And, you know, I've had kids that I had to kick off. And, you know, later on they come back and realize, wow. So, but it's tough, but it has to be done today.
Yeah, I think that's where you and I kind of differ. That's my first resort. And I go to juggler right away. No, we can't do this. We got to change behavior real quick and everything. But then again, most of the time I'm going into rebuilding situations. So you got to go ahead and, you know, and take care of everything. You have had a lot of honors bestowed upon you, and I know you don't want to talk about it. So I'm going to talk about it, okay? Let's start with Shrine Bowl.
Wow, it was awesome, Coach. We were fortunate enough to have, you know, one of the problems I think with Shrine Bowl, you got all coaches with head coaches. And now you're dealing with egos, you're dealing with who want to be boss. And, you know, I was fortunate to get a group of young men who understood that I was just happened to be the one in charge at this time. And, you know, I just letting them know, okay, we're here for the kids. We want to get the best kids that we can find, no matter where they were from. And we want to be honest. And then we wasn't going to take kids that was going to cause a problem during that week. Every time I spoke at a site, I talked about, you know, I can't change a behavior in a week if a coach hadn't changed it in years. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that experience was so good. We had kids that did what they supposed to do. They were on time. It just made the coaching situation a lot easier. And we had a very enjoyable situation.
Was it your demeanor that made it better than any others? Or?
Yeah. Well, I just tried to be honest with the kids. I think you know, kids can read through you right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been in this profession long enough that you can't fool kids. You know, they know when you're real, and they're gonna react to that philosophy. So I just tried to let them know, okay, this is what we have to do. We're trying to win this game. We're trying to raise money and you know, for worthy cause, and you know, So I think they see it right away, and they see how you react to them, and, you know, they see that you're genuine, and that makes a difference with kids. Because like you said, right away they'll see that you're not real, and they'll let you know that right away too.
They'll pull away from you in New York City.
Yeah. You have been called upon to mentor, I assume, a lot of coaches who will come under, coaches who know you and everything. What advice do you give these coaches when they come to you, and what kind of questions do you get from them?
Had a young man call me the other day, trying to get a head coaching job, and asked me to get a reference for him, and he coached with me a couple of years, and, you know, I told him, I said, you know, first of all, you got to be yourself. You know, you got to go in there and establish yourself. And I also told him that I still think the bottom line is establish discipline and academics, and that's going to keep your program going. A lot of people think that you go in and try to win, you're going to last a long time. But, you know, you're not going to always be that great win team all the time. Sometimes you're just not going to have a good team to win every time. But if your philosophy is about winning, if your philosophy is about bettering young men, teaching to be student athletes, I think you can be successful and have some longevity. I've been blessed to, I think you yourself too, been blessed to have some longevity in a tough profession. You know, it's hard to know any coach that's been coaching for the years that you put in, and I've been blessed to have, because of trying to do it right all the time. And we're not going to have a great team every year. That's just not going to be real about it. But your philosophy, you try to stay with your philosophy, try to people the right things and instruct kids on doing the right things. So when these young men come back, I just tell them that, hey, to me, that's been what has kept me going. And, you know, I've been blessed to do that. And, you know, I don't know what else to tell you, because I wish I could tell you to be 12-0 every year, but that's not real. That ain't going to happen every time. So, but you just try to be honest with them and let them know that it's going to be a little tougher these days, because of the type of kids that you're dealing with and type of parents that you're dealing with. But, you know, you just have to stay the course and maintain that philosophy.
Did you ever had the opportunity to interview a coach that had all the answers and he's 24 or 25 years old?
Yes. A lot of those I did now. Yes, there are a lot of those out there now. In fact, a lot of these young coaches know it all, and, you know, they've done it all in 2 or 3 years. I don't know how, but they have all answers. And, you know, I have to sit there and listen to them. So maybe you can help me, but they have to find out the hard way. and it's tough. You know, you try to slow them down and say, look, man, it's a process now, you know. I think with any profession, you're going to have these type people, and they have to hit that wall themselves, and find out that it's a process in everything you do, and you're always learning, okay? You're always growing in this profession, and you don't know.
I remember.
You just don't.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, and these are names that you probably know, but you may not know, but I remember back in the day, I used to sit with a company of guys like Virgil Wells. I don't know if you remember Virgil.
Yes.
From, Tommy Smith. And my old coach down in, the guy who first had me, Marty Risha. I just used to zip my lips and open my ears and just listen to what those guys were. So I used to be around those guys. They'd be sitting in the front and everything. I'd just be soaking everything guys be saying, even bad jokes. You know, I listen to them. But that helped me more than anything else. Why don't young guys do that anymore?
That's a good, very good question. Somebody asked me, and to me, like you said, that's a great thing because wisdom, you can't get that out of a book. You know, you just can't. And you got a person, even if you think about it, your grandfather, your grandmother, they can tell you things that you can't learn in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And they can tell you situations that you can't learn. So these coaches have been through it. You know, they've been successful. They've had the hard times. They had a good time. So, like you said, you get more learning from them than, say, going to a coaching clinic with, you know, even going to a national championship coaching clinic. These guys can tell you stuff that they don't even know because they've lived those times. And like you see, the young coach these days, they think they are reinventing the wheel. And it's not. Football is football. And whoever block and tackle the best gonna win the football game. You know.
And I don't want young guys who are listening, you know, right now on the podcast to think that we're trashing young coaches, but man, we just the pitfalls you're gonna go through. And the only thing we want is to help you navigate pitfalls.
Thank you.
You're gonna go through it, but at least you'll have an answer when you go through there. By asking the question, they don't listen, you know, because I know all these guys, most of the guys have been successful, they'll give you the shit off of their back. You know, there's the highs, you know, and this is one of the reasons I started this. Because a lot of young guys think, or sometimes older guys too, they think because you're simple, you won't talk to them. Man, we want to give this away, you know, because the better. The more successful you are, the more kids that are going to be successful, and the better it's going to be for everybody. So we don't want to keep this inside. We want to get it's all about the kids. Everything we do is about the kids.
And I tell them in a minute, and then that's for me to do, but hey, help kids. And the young coaches, hey, I'm always willing to talk. I don't say I know it all, but I can share our experiences, okay, that you hadn't gotten yet. So I'm always willing to help because, like you said, it's about the kids, you know, and it always will be. I don't care whoever goes through, it's always going to be about the kids.
And maybe we can get together and then I can learn something because I learn more from these broadcasts than you.
That's right.
I'm flabbergasted. I have to be one of the luckiest guys in the world sitting and talk to all these guys and listen. That's a good way to do this. And you always gotta be learning. Yeah. You can't once you reach the top and you stop learning, the only way back is down. And I never want to get to the point where, and I never want to get to that point again.
No.
We're almost about to run out of time, but let me ask you a couple of more questions here. And I actually say everybody, because everybody got their own hero. Who is your hero in this business? not necessarily in this business.
I've had some great college. My college coaches did a lot for me as far as teaching me how to be a coach. Coach Jeffries. I had Coach Sam Goodwin. Coach Willie Simon. I had just great, great staff. And, you know, they all had different philosophies, but they always for the same goal. So these guys taught me and showed me why I should be a coach. You know, that college experience was just so awesome. You know, we won, and I seen what it took to keep us winning like that, and you know the work ethic and all that. So I patterned him, and then I was fortunate enough, you know, to work for some good high school coaches, Georgia, Larry Campbell, in Lincoln, Georgia, and so you know I learned a lot from all these guys. And, you know, I kind of take something from all of them, try to put together, and hope the situation will help me be a better person, better coach.
If you were to spend an hour and 30 minutes with a coach.
That coach called you and said, Tommy, I got an hour, 30 minutes. Just sit down. You can. It's all yours. You got 90 minutes with me.
Who would that coach be that you want to sit down and talk to?
Oh, wow. For me, I still say be Willie Jeffers. He's just such a person that's, you know, not only he talk about football, his whole philosophy of life is just, you know, he's just such a wise guy. Basically, I didn't realize that until, you know, later on in life, but, you know, he just has so much to share. He does in such a human manner, but, you know, he has so much to share and so much I still can learn. So he probably that.
You know, everybody is boosting Willie up. I got to get Willie on the show.
Yeah.
When I was doing the getting lined up for the show, I didn't realize that Willie Tree so deep. He really has had an impact on high school football in South Carolina. You know, I love being around him every time, I guess I'm the odd man out when it comes to coaching and everything, because I never did come under him. But I tell you one thing about Willie. When I was at C.A. Johnson High School many moons ago, and I used to come down and see y'all play. And at that time, he was running that Vera offense. He took me in like a son, man. He taught me everything that was just and the thing that impressed me so much is he remembered my name all these years.
That's right.
He's a special kind of guy. That. He knew my name. And that was, I'll tell my age, that was 42 years ago when I first met Willie. Yeah. You know,
he's
so he is, man. Well, Tommy, is there any closing thoughts that you want to leave with us? Any words of wisdom?
Well, no, Coach, I just appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Like you said, I've had a great relationship with you and you all. You know, you're talking about mentors. I look up to what you have done and what you're doing still. And you know, I want to grow up to be like you, okay? So, you know, I tell you, this is an honor and truly a privilege to be able to share, you know, and every time we meet, regardless where we pan into each other, you know, I just look forward to talking to you also. So I appreciate you giving me this opportunity, and I hope somebody can benefit from our conversation.
Okay, Tommy. Well, I sure appreciate that. And you go and take mama out for dinner.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. We'll talk
later.
Take care.
Have a good night. Uh-huh. All right.
And that was the great Tommy Brown from Orangeburg Wilkerson High School. Guys, if you can take these podcasts, I know they're going to be podcasts later on, but if you can take these and listen to the information that these older guys are giving out, and, you know, and if there's a question that you have, you know, you can always hit them digits and call them. You know, these guys want to help you. You know, I think Reggie said it best last week. What he wants to do is find that replacement for him. You know, and that's all we all want to do. You know, and just find a replacement for us as we pass on, because our young man today, they need that guidance. They need that real talk. And sometimes they don't get that real talk. And they need some people who really care more about them than the X's and O's, more about them being an athlete, more about them. And we need people to start building up men and stop thinking about them as a piece of meat, you know. Well, that's it for tonight. And going to bid everybody a good night, and gosh, I'm having so much fun. these things go by so fast and everything. And I'm learning a lot. And so next week, we got the great Sean Wright from Cross High School, an aspiring young coach. Sean has already won a state championship. And what we're going to do is start again from the biggest schools to the larger schools. We are going to continue doing this, and we got a good April lineup for everybody. And what we want to do is bring you the best. You know, if you got any ideas about how we can make this show better, drop me a line. We're not a report here. We just want to make it and be here for the kids. So then, I want to bid everybody a good night. And God, thank you for listening to the Monday edition of the Triple Green Report.
I'll say good night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also the faces of people going by. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Have a great rest of the week, and again, hug someone and tell them that you love them. Good night.